All right, so let me move on into the opening monologue. The Right Side Way opening monologue brought to you, as always, by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee. He is a 30-year vet in the practice of law. He's a longtime conservative, and yep, he's your daily sponsor of The Right Side Way. And I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. And I'm about to tell you a crazy story. It's probably one of the craziest stories I've ever told on the air. So stand by, it's coming. But let me precede it by saying, nothing good ever comes from any action that is preceded by someone saying, here, hold my beer and watch this. I mean, if somebody says, hold my beer and watch this, literally nothing good is about to happen. But as bad as that phrase is for starting something, it might be even worse to hear somebody say in the aftermath, whose idea was this? I mean, if somebody's looking around going, whose idea was this? Well, that's a phrase that's steeped in regret and bewilderment. It's a question that is usually resulting in people immediately avoiding eye contact, pointing fingers, even lawyering up. Whose idea was this? It's a question that implies that an action or a decision or an utterance was believed at one time to have held such promise and in the aftermath is seen as a huge debacle. Everything seemed great until it wasn't. And suddenly everybody wants answers and nobody wants responsibility. And sometimes it's funny and sometimes it absolutely isn't funny at all. And the question of whose idea was this is one that is usually also preceding some form of accountability. Somebody's about to feel the wrath or at least know the consequences of their decision making. I mean, I can think of a few things where there were just bad ideas where someone thought a certain way and totally messed up in business. Like, how about this? 1962. Up-and-coming rock and roll band auditioned for the vice president of talent for Decca Records in London. He was not impressed. He told the band's manager, we don't like your boys' sound. Groups are out. Four-piece groups with guitars particularly are finished. Well, that band was the Beatles, who went on to sell over 2 billion albums worldwide. Someone somewhere at Decca Records had to have looked around and go, whose idea was it to turn that down? Here's another one for you. 1876. I mean, I'm reaching. I know. Way back there. 1876. William Orton was the president of Western Union. Western Union had the monopoly on the most advanced communications technology then available, called the telegraph. Orton was offered the patent on a new invention, the telephone. He was offered the patent on the telephone for $100,000, which is about $2 million in current money. But he considered the whole idea ridiculous, and he actually wrote to Alexander Graham Bell saying, after careful consideration of your invention, while it is an interesting novelty, we have come to the conclusion it has no commercial possibilities. What else could this company make of an electrical toy? An electrical toy. I hope someone on his board of directors looked around the room and said, whose idea was this? The bottom line is, he was so in his own bubble, he could not see the way forward. But let me tell you the craziest story I think I've ever heard that had to end with somebody being asked, whose idea was this? It's on the funny side. It's one I'd never heard until recently. Okay, so everybody knows and loves the ancient story of Pinocchio, right? Little Pinocchio, the wooden puppet made by the lonely old craftsman Geppetto, who had always wanted a son. And the Disney classic rendition with Jiminy Cricket in a whole cast of timeless characters came out in 1940. And the premiere of the film was a really, really big deal. See, Disney had sunk a lot into making this one. And the audiences, they couldn't wait. It was an instant classic before it even hit the big screen. Pinocchio, all the fanfare, everybody's coming out. Bring your kids, it's going to be awesome. And then somebody had a great idea for the promo event at the big premiere. Somewhere, someone, somehow, sold the Disney team on an idea that turned into a total goat rodeo. The summary of it is this. In 1940, Disney hired 11 little people, which were formerly known to the world as midgets, which is a word that apparently no longer is considered appropriate, so I have to now say little people. So, little people. Disney hired 11 little people, and they made a boardroom decision to hire these 11 little people and dress them up in Pinocchio costumes, complete with a big heavy mask. And they put them on top of the movie marquee, way up high, to wave at the crowds who were lining up below to come to the premiere of the great new animated movie, Pinocchio. Little people, dancing and cavorting in front of a gawking crowd. What could go wrong? Well, everything could go wrong. It was apparently hot that day, and the little people got hungry, and then they got mad. And somewhere around midday, somebody decided to assuage their concerns and send up some food, and for reasons that nobody can explain, they also sent up alcohol. Yep, alcohol. whereupon the little people who were already hot and bothered got soused. Drunk little people began stripping off their costumes, like all of them, right down to their birthday suit. And then they started gambling, and then began yelling profanity down at the crowds. All inhibition was gone, as nearly a dozen little people sat up there on the movie marquee in all their naked glory, mocking innocent moviegoers mercilessly while shooting craps. And they refused to stop. No amount of pleas would assuage the angst of the angry, drunken little exhibitionists. So by mid-afternoon, it had gotten so bad, the New York Police Department had to send officers over with ladders who had to climb up, wrap them up in sheets, and take them all into custody. I mean, think about that. Whose idea was this? Who thought it would be awesome to dress up and exploit a bunch of little people as Pinocchios, leave them up on a balcony in the hot sun with wine and sandwiches for the day, and then wonder why they got drunk, mad, naked, screaming swear words? It defies logic. I mean, surely somebody had to pay for that one, wouldn't you think? Whose idea was this? A question that surely had to be followed by somebody losing their job. But you see this stuff all the time, right? I mean, decisions made in the boardroom. Who put Dylan Mulvaney on that beer can? Whose decision was this? Whose idea? Totally made in a vacuum and totally without any consideration for the consequences because the decision makers are so into their own bubble that they can't imagine any outcome other than the one they want. So let's keep in mind that the enemy always gets a vote in warfare, right? You can make your own plans, but the other side gets to shoot. Anytime I go to court as an attorney, I try to anticipate what the other side is actually thinking and planning. That's how it works. But decisions being made in a vacuum inside the bubble, they usually end up with someone in authority demanding to know whose idea was this. And the history of the world is replete with ridiculously bad decisions. Decisions that, once made, actually may cost someone or some company countless opportunities and boundless riches. But what about also the decisions, though, that did more than just affect property or profit margins? What about the decisions that, once they were made, had the notoriety of negatively affecting actual lives, even to the point of death, even to the point of usurping the will of the people? And that brings me to my point. You see, we're learning more right now about the infamous decision-making that led to an attempt to co-opt the duly elected first term of Donald Trump. What we're now seeing in actual documentation is that there was a true decision-making process by people who sat in their ivory towers and decided they knew best, that they and they alone knew the way forward, that surely there would be no repercussions because, you know, they are who they are. And what we know now is something that we have long suspected but never had the ability to truly see or get the bottom of it. And now we have the ability and the authority to ask, whose idea was this? What we know right now is that millions of tax dollars, countless barrages of biased media, the full force of the U.S. government, the jailing of innocent people, all in what became known as the Russia collusion narrative of 2016, was in fact a lie. What we know now, because Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard is publishing the document she found, is that in 2016, all of the intelligence summaries of the day indicated that Russia had an interest in meddling with our elections, but that there was no evidence of collusion between the Russian government and the Trump campaign until after Trump was elected. Yeah. So on December 7th of 2016, 1 month after Trump won, the intel summary said there was no collusion. But on December 9th of 2016, 2 days later, President Barack Obama called in Susan Rice, the National Security Advisor, James Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence, John Brennan of the CIA, Andrew McCabe of the FBI, and John Kerry to meet about Russia. After which, all of a sudden, the memos that we are now uncovering show that Brennan went back to tell everyone in the intel community that, quote, at the direction of the president, end quote, at the direction of the president, the narrative had to be revised. And suddenly, we got the Russia collusion hoax, followed by the Mueller investigation, followed by massive media barrages and leaks, followed by congressional hearings. This went on for years, all because someone had a really bad idea and they actually decided to act on it. This is not losing money on a missed opportunity. This is not just seeing an invention that could have changed the world and you dissed it. This is not drunk, naked little people cursing at children. This is our nation's sanctity. This is the abuse of office. This is an attempt, an official attempt, to actually subvert the will of the people and undermine the office of the presidency. I mean, whose idea was this? It appears to have been Obama's. And we want accountability now. We do. We want to know that someone's going to be held accountable. Why am I telling you all this? I'll tell you why. Because we have a right to question. And that right to question is based not just on freedom of expression and freedom of speech. It's also based on the simple fact that history dictates that people make stupid decisions about things that negatively affect others all the time. But when they do so in their official capacity with the evil intent of undermining our governance, that, my friends, is a crime. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm just a guy. I'm a guy who sees that there are people who become so arrogant at times, so sure of themselves, so steeped in their own ideologies and agendas that they can apparently no longer see the outcomes of their decision making. So what happened on December 9th of 2016 was a travesty. And now we have the receipts. And we deserve to know, whose idea was this? And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.